when I look around at all this world offers, I begin to crave the things that I see. I must keep my eyes on Jesus, my Savior. He has promised heavenly treasure to me. All that I need is my faith in Jesus. All that I need is my home above. All that I need is my Father's mercy. All that I need is my Savior's love. All the things of earth may try to allure me. All the pretty houses glisten and gleam. Riches seem to offer peace and contentment, but it's just a lie, it's only a dream. All that I need is my faith in Jesus. All that I need is my home above. All that I need is my Father's mercy. All that I need is my Savior's love. All that I need is my faith in Jesus. All that I need is my home above. All that I need is my Father's mercy. All that I need is my Savior's love. All that I need, all that I need is my Savior's love. My Savior's love.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly flows o'er my soul like an infinite calm.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love,
what a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom shall be.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless of love. In fathomless billows of love.
Hope and David are going to come up and sing with us tonight. And it's probably one of our favorite songs on our newest CD. And it's all about what we talked about this morning, being thankful. We ought to be thankful people. Especially as born-again children of God, we should be the most thankful people in all the world. Lately I've been through some testing and trials, felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now, looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful.
I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful.
I've battled giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to the cross, and I hear it no more, and I'm thankful.
I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful.
Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
I'm thankful, Lord,
I'm thankful.
Back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other way to tell you but to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could.
'Cause through it all,
God's been good. Times replay, and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could.
'Cause through it all,
God's been good.
God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love is my beginning. His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this:
God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could.
'Cause through it all,
God's been good. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could.
'Cause through it all,
God's been good.
God's
been good.
Amen. Wonderful time this morning in Sunday school and the morning service and good food. Thank you for the wonderful food. I was telling Brother Bicklehop, nobody does fish like you guys do fish. We've been other places and had fish, which shall remain unnamed. And nobody does fish the way that you guys do that fish. It's always so good and so fresh and just wonderful. And we were all hyped up about some good fish not long ago, and they were, I guess they just were over-prepared. That was the problem. That's how we'll say it. Because they got the fish done so far ahead of time that it was cold by the time we got there. And it tasted pretty good, but it is cold. And, this was so good today. So good. Thank you for all the hard work and the desserts. There was chocolate. There was more chocolate than what was promised out there today. And that's a blessing. That's the first sign of revival. Amen? Amen. And there's extra chocolate out there. Take your Bible tonight, if you would, and turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 6. When you find that, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Daniel chapter number 6. We'll start reading tonight in verse number 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this good day that you've given to us and all that we've done and all that we've experienced and the wonderful time this afternoon of rejoicing and fellowship over your blessings and your goodness. Lord, I pray tonight as we look into your word that even though what we're looking at is a familiar passage, God, I pray that you'd help us to see it with new eyes and tonight to put ourselves in there and allow your Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My wife was sick a couple of weeks ago, and she had a sore and cough and all that awful stuff, and she passed it to me. I just want you to know, it is better to give than to receive. And I finally last week, not past week, I'm old and time goes by quickly. It was the week before that. We were at the house for a few days, and I went down to the urgent care. That's how you know it was serious. I went down to the urgent care. I'd wake up at night with coughing fits, and I couldn't stop. And the only way I could stop would be to sit upright. So I'd have to go out and sit in the chair, and I'd fall asleep in the chair, and then I'd have a crick in my neck. And you know, it's just a vicious cycle. And so I went down there to see if they had some magic pill they could give me. They didn't have any magic pills. Instead, they gave me a little. And they gave me a prescription for stuff that I could have gotten cheaper without the prescription by far. And then they gave me this little paper describing what I had. They said, sir, you have an upper respiratory infection. What that means is we can't do anything for you. That's what that means. We can give you cough medicine and we can give you runny nose medicine, but we can't do anything at all about the problem. And so here we are. Amen. Then it's getting much better, and honestly, much better, because there was a point there a couple weeks ago where every time I would sing or preach, I would just go hoarse, and I would lose my voice, and I'd cough and spit and holler, and it was just ugly and terrible. So if I had to cough every once in a while, you just assume that things are a whole lot better than they were a couple weeks ago. Amen? That's also when we had that. Don't do that. So I'm sure with the fish today, I'm on the way up and all will be well. And I would expect to get much better. It's always good to go back to familiar passages in the Bible. It's good because it reminds us that this book that we hold in our hands is not just a dead, dry textbook. This is the Word of God. And it's alive and it's powerful. And so you can go back to the same story that you've read over many times, that you've heard over many times, and God can show you things that can help you where you are right now today that you just really never noticed. That's because this is alive, and it's the Word of God. Thank God for that. And then it's just good to remind ourselves sometimes of things we think we know, because we forget things that we think we know. Daniel is an interesting character. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 4, it tells us how Daniel got here to where he is. He was just a young man. He was a young man growing up there in Judah, and he was a man of talent and ability and potential. And because he was smart, he was talented, he was all those things, had all that potential, Nebuchadnezzar, when he came in and invaded, said, I want you to pick out the cream of the crop. I want you to pick out the smartest. I want you to pick out the brightest and the best and bring them back so that we can use them in our kingdom. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among that bunch. And Daniel was there. And so you need to understand when you read about Daniel. Daniel was a young man who was obviously being prepared by his parents for something special. He was a smart young man. He was a talented young man. He was well trained, and he had a tremendous future ahead of him. And yet his parents, as they were training him, as they were teaching him, as they were preparing him for life, had no idea that he would be a slave. They had no idea. You see, you just really never know what God is going to do with your life. But what you can know for sure is that no matter what it is, he will use all of that in the background, whatever it was. So, well, I've prepared and it just seems like a waste. It's never a waste. It's never a waste. God is going to use it somewhere, maybe even in a way you just never imagined. Here's Daniel with all this potential and all that's in front of him and all that he could be and all he could do. And then all of a sudden it all just changes. And he's scooped up and taken to a foreign land to be used by this dictator for his own advancement and his own purposes. And you know the story. There he is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there. And right off the bat, they refuse to take the portions of the king's meat. And they're gonna stick by what they believe is right. And they do. And God blesses them. And they rise to prominence. And they begin to be well known there. They're under the care of the prince of the eunuchs. And if you study through through history and find out when kingdoms did what Nebuchadnezzar did here, quite often what they would do is they would take these young men to be used in their own kingdom, and they wanted them compliant. They didn't want them rebelling. They didn't want them causing trouble. They didn't want them leading uprisings. And so they themselves would become eunuchs. And when you think about Daniel, you need to understand that he's in a place he doesn't want to be, in a situation he never planned on, and his life has taken a complete upside down turn. And if anybody has a reason to sit down and whine and cry and complain, it's Daniel. This is not what he was brought up for. This is not what he had planned. This is not what he's prepared for. And he's been abused and he's been violated and he's been trapped and stolen. And now he's asked by these people to do work for them. Finally, in Daniel chapter 2, he interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And that begins his rise to prominence. Nebuchadnezzar sees more potential here in Daniel. And he gives him position. In Daniel chapter 3, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I've heard a lot of folks preach on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, where was Daniel? Was Daniel compromising and that he wasn't in that group as well? I don't know where he was. But just from looking at the life of Daniel, I doubt that he had compromised. That was not who Daniel was. Whether he was just in a different position, a different place, just for some reason not involved in what was going on there, I don't know what it was, but I will just about guarantee you that he knew what was happening. And those are his friends now, and he's seeing all that happen, and Daniel knows that there's a cost for doing what's right. You get down to chapter 4, and he foretells the judgment of God on the pride of the king and the sin of the people. In chapter 5, Daniel foretells the fall of Belshazzar. And suddenly, you remember the story, the hand writes on the wall. And Daniel interprets it, and by the time the night is over, suddenly that's a whole new kingdom. Everything is upside down. And now Daniel, again, his whole life is in turmoil. And yet, because he was in a high position in the Babylonian kingdom and he served honorably, and for whatever other reasons we don't know, the king of the Persians, Darius, puts Daniel in a place of prominence in his own kingdom. As a matter of fact, if you look again back through history and you see the changes in these kingdoms and the different people taking over and overrunning another, you'll find quite often they didn't just move there and set up shop. Quite often what they did is they set up people to rule the kingdom while they remained further away, and they may come visit from time to time, but they didn't necessarily always stay there all the time. And Daniel becomes the guy who for all practical purposes is ruling the kingdom. He sets up a system where there are presidents, princes, and Daniel,
said at the very top, there are three presidents, and Daniel is at the top, and everybody has to go through Daniel to get to Darius. He's the guy who's administrating everything. And that's when the trouble begins for Daniel. You see, all of a sudden, things start to get difficult. And it's quite often in our lives when things seem like they should be moving the smoothest, when it looks like everything is going the easiest, that all of a sudden things can change and suddenly become very, very difficult. Do you remember Job's life? He had everything. He was at the peak of his life. He had the possessions like he'd never had before. He had everything greater than he'd ever had before. And that was when the moment of testing came and everything changed. And all of a sudden, things got difficult. Well, that's how it is for Daniel. What I want you to know tonight about Daniel is that he was a faithful man. If you want to find a picture of faithfulness, Daniel's a good place to look. He comes from a background where his whole life is uprooted and twisted around, and he's taken as a captive, and he has to go through that whole process, and then he's used by one kingdom, and now he's in the next kingdom, and he's not there because he wants to be there. He's there because he has to be there. And yet, we find unwavering faithfulness. And because of that unwavering faithfulness, God is able to use Daniel. He's able to use Daniel to be a wonderful testimony of God himself. He's able to use Daniel through prophecy to show us some things that are yet to come down the road. He's able to use Daniel in multitudes of ways just because Daniel is faithful. And what you need to know is that God is looking for faithful people. As we sit here today and celebrate the 30th anniversary of Grace Baptist Church, there's really only one way that happens, and that's with faithfulness. It's the only way it happens. It happens because you had a faithful man of God who was willing to come here when it wasn't easy to come here, and stay here when it wasn't easy to stay here, and be faithful. And it also happens because there were people here in this congregation who stayed when it wasn't easy to stay, when it wasn't fun to stay, when it wasn't as exciting and there wasn't as much going on, and it was just a little handful of people getting preached at every Sunday, and it was always at them. When there's only 10 people in the church, you don't have to wonder who he's preaching to. He's preaching to you, amen? You can't push it off on somebody else. And there were faithful people who sat there and sat through those circumstances when it was hard, when there wasn't somebody to do Bible school and junior church and all those other things. And if it was going to get done, the preacher or his wife had to do it. And it was hard and it was difficult, and sometimes it wasn't fun. Sometimes it's not fun. And yet because of faithfulness, because of the faithfulness of this family and because of the faithfulness of those families at the beginning of this church, here we sit today, 30 years later, in this beautiful auditorium. And our biggest problem is that the air's a little noisy. Amen? And yes, given, that's an issue. However, when you look at it, the scope of problems, thank God for air. Amen? Amen. Thank God for air. Thank God for pews. Thank God for all the stuff. Listen, we are a blessed people. And it's because of faithfulness. Not everybody can be talented. Not everybody can be as smart as everybody else. Not everybody can have the position and the potential of everybody else. But you know what everybody can be? Everybody can be faithful. And God can take ordinary people who are faithful and do amazing things. As a matter of fact, when you look through Scripture and you look through history, you'll find out that's who God uses. Ordinary people who are faithful. I want you to see here the faithfulness of Daniel in verse number 2 and verse number 3. It says, "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." You know what that tells me? That tells me that Daniel, who is in a place he never chose to be. He never chose to be in the Medo-Persian Empire. He was in the Babylonian Empire. And he didn't even want to be in the Babylonian Empire. He wanted to be back home in Israel. That's where he wanted to be. That's where his heart was. That's where his life was. That's the whole thing. And now he's stolen from there and put in one place. And then it's all upended. And now it's another place. And here he is. And you know what Daniel's doing? He's being faithful to serve where God has put him. He's under the new king now, and so what is he doing? He's fulfilling the duties that he has right there where God has put him. He has no other options. He has no other choice. It's obvious God has put him here because there's nothing else. There he is. You know what a lot of folks do? They waste their lives wishing they were somebody else, somewhere else, doing something else. Are wasted lives. Had Daniel done that, he never would have risen to prominence and been used by God. Instead, right where he is, he gets busy just being faithful. He's just doing his job, and he's doing it to the best of his ability. He's being honest, he's being upright, even so much that a heathen king looks at him, a foreigner, a captive. Wouldn't you always be a little bit suspicious of your foreign captives who are doing the work for you? I mean, honestly. You'd always have one eye on them because, hey, they're foreign captives. And you know in their heart they don't even really want to be there. And so they might just try to sabotage you. And this king has watched Daniel and he trusts him so much, he just basically takes his hands off and says, "Daniel, run the kingdom." That tells you Daniel's faithful. He can be trusted. He's dependable. And the truth is, God will give you as much as he can trust you with, if you'll be faithful with it. Look at verse 4. "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" I want you to see not only is Daniel faithful to serve where he's placed by God, but Daniel is faithful in the midst of opposition. Here he is just doing his best. He's being faithful. He's being honest and upright. And all of a sudden, those who are working with him turn against him because they want his position. They want him out of the way so that they can be elevated to that position. And so they begin to search for something about Daniel that can discredit him. You see, these are politicians. And that's what politicians do. This is the equivalent of political ads and tweets and YouTube videos right here. They didn't have all that stuff, but they're going to find something and they're going to spread it around and they're going to discredit Daniel so they can have his position. And they begin searching and digging and trying to find something. And finally they said, he's as clean can be. We're not going to find anything unless we find something concerning his God. You know what Daniel's problem is? He prays too much. I would consider that a glowing recommendation, wouldn't you? If somebody can dig all through your life and all they can find is he prays too much. He doesn't have any dirty business dealings. He's not been immoral and wicked, and he hasn't lied and he hasn't cheated and he hasn't ripped off a bunch of people, but he prays a lot. I think God would be pleased with that, don't you? I would dare say most of us would not want somebody to dig through our whole lives trying to find dirt. Because, to be honest, they'd find some dirt. Even if it was just a misunderstanding and it just looked bad, but we didn't have any good way to explain it, they'd take it and spread it all over. Daniel didn't even have any of that. He didn't even have any misunderstandings. It was all good, and they got to get him. Concerning his God, he's faithful in the midst of opposition. Listen, it's easy to be faithful when there's no opposition. The real test of faithfulness is when the opposition comes. And when all of a sudden those who should be helping you are pulling the other direction. And they're trying to destroy you and trying to mess up. I've talked to pastors who have stood in the pulpit and preached week after week knowing that there were 3, 4, 5, 6 people out there who hated them and wanted to destroy them. And the only reason they were sitting in church was so that they could hear him say something they didn't like so they could twist it and spread it everywhere and destroy him. Can you imagine? What an awful way to show church. Yeah, that's horrible. That's how Daniel was. He was just showing up doing his job, and he knew they were watching everything that he did and listening to every word, not so they could help him, so they could destroy him. And yet he was faithful. Look at verse 6. And said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. They come to the king, and they butter him up. As politicians will do. And they come to him and they said, oh, king, live forever. You're wonderful. You're great. You're the greatest king we've ever had. You're probably the greatest king anybody has ever had. And he, being a politician, ate it up. He said, you're right. I am. As a matter of fact, I might even be a little better than that. And they just keep piling it on higher and higher. And he just keeps drinking it in. And finally they said, you are so wonderful. That what we really should do is just pass a law. That nobody should ask any petition of any king or any god or anybody but you for at least the next 30 days. And he said, you know, that sounds like a good law. Because I really am that great. And I'm that important and I'm that special. And they said, we just happen to have one, a law to that effect already written out. All you have to do is sign it. You can find out what's in it after you pass it. You just go ahead and sign it. Politicians have never changed, amen? They were evil then and they are evil now. And that's the truth. And so he signed the thing. He signed it and sealed it. Look at verse number 8. Now King and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and decree. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew, that's an important phrase. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, look at the last phrase in that verse, as he did aforetime. It says, when Daniel knew, here's Daniel, he gets word of what's going on. He hears that the king has signed the law. Anybody that asks a petition of anybody, any god, any king, anybody, is going to be thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible says, when he knew it had been signed, he went home, and you know what he did? He remained faithful. Well, that's pretty serious, isn't it? You see, he remained faithful when he knew that there would be negative consequences. He knew it. He understood what it all meant. And the Bible says he went home, and he prayed with those windows open like he always had, because it says, as he did aforetime. He didn't change anything. He didn't say, now that they've passed this law, what we need to do is get out there and have public prayer and that'll stir everything up. No, he'd already been doing it. That's just what he did every single day. And so he went out and he remained faithful to his God. We are a bit spoiled because we do live in the greatest nation in the world. And we have been the recipients of freedom passed down to us over the last 200 plus years. Freedom that was passed down to us by men who bought it for us at risk of their lives. And we just think that's the way it's always been and it's always supposed to be. And so when somebody won't take a tract from us, we feel as if we have been persecuted. That's not really persecution. This is persecution. You see, we get to feeling that if somebody just doesn't like us, or they put in the paper a negative story about our church, that somehow we're facing awful persecution. Listen, I think that's a bad thing and it's terrible, but really on the scale of persecution, it's nothing. It's nothing. We really don't face consequences for standing for the Lord Jesus Christ like they do in some places. There are places tonight, right now, where if you walk around with a Bible in public, they will haul you off and stone you or cut your head off. Where if you so much as try to give somebody the gospel, that's a crime, a capital offense, and they will cut your throat. And not an eye. And yet we get all, you know, we take it all personally when somebody doesn't like us. We've got it pretty easy. We've not had to face serious opposition yet. But hang on. It'll happen. It really will. There will be a day before too long where there are legitimate, serious consequences for standing for truth and preaching the Word of God. You know that in Canada, it's been years ago now, they passed hate speech laws saying that you couldn't preach against homosexuality because that was hate speech. However, they never really enforced it. They never did. It didn't change much. Oh, the ones that took it to heart and quit preaching on those things really never preached on that anyway. They were already waffling long before there was a law. And those who believed it and preached it didn't change anything. You know what they did this year? Just a few months ago, they strengthened their law. Before there was potential of a fine. Now you know what there is? A much larger fine and jail time. You know what that tells me? They're getting more serious. And I know that's Canada and they're weird. I know that. They may look like us, but they don't think like us. But they're not that far ahead of us. We are going down the same rat hole. And we're going fast. You better hang on. The next 6 months, we're going fast. Do you understand that July 1st, they're going to make it acceptable for transgender people to serve in the military openly? They're going to find out how much it's going to cost to change uniforms and change all the rest so that our military can be invaded by perversion. We are going down the rat hole faster than you ever imagined. And the next few months is going to go really fast. It's going to go fast. And I would not be a bit surprised to find hate speech legislation coming up in our Congress. And those spineless jellyfish that we have voted into office will approve the foolishness. They will. They'll do it in the dark of night because it'll have their favorite to it, and it'll go through, and they'll all pretend they didn't know anything, and then you're going to be getting letters in the mail. And it won't be serious at first. We'll ignore it. We'll reject it out of hand. And then there'll be a test case somewhere. And then it'll get serious. And then it'll be a matter of real opposition. And what do you do then? What do you do then? Well, you know your pastor. He'll probably just cave. Can I tell you what he'll do? He'll stay faithful. He'll stay faithful. That's what he'll do. And you better stay faithful with him. Don't you jump ship. Amen. Don't you go run off and hide because people say, oh, you go to that church, that hateful church. No, you stay faithful. Stay faithful to the Word of God. That's what Daniel did. All of a sudden, just the simple act of going home and praying with his windows open suddenly became a violation of the law. And that didn't deter Daniel one bit. He just remained faithful even when he knew there would be consequences. Then go down a little further. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of God within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Remember now, the reason Daniel is in prominence, the reason he's above all the presidents and princes, is because this king loves Daniel. That's the reason. This king doesn't want to hurt Daniel. That's not his goal. That's not his purpose. He had no intention of hurting Daniel. He just got all caught up in the foolishness that was going on, and he got tricked by these men, and he didn't even realize what they had in mind. And now here he is, and he's trapped. And so he labors till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. You see, the Medo-Persian Empire had this strange custom. And nobody did it before that, and nobody's ever done it since. But their custom was, if the law was passed, that everybody, including the king, had to follow it. Nobody's ever tried that since. The king didn't get to pick and choose which laws he enforced and which ones he liked and which ones he didn't like. If it was a law, even the king had to obey it. And they said, king, you remember now, you signed the law. And if you signed the law, you can't change the law. And he said, yep, you're right. That's the way our system works. I can't do it. I can't fix it. Verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. He said, you can't change it. And the king said, I know I can't change it. Call for Daniel. They brought Daniel, and they're ready to throw him into the lion's den. And that king, that heathen king, leans over and says to Daniel, Daniel, I can't fix this. I've tried. I've tried to find a loophole. I've tried to find a way out. I cannot fix it. But your God can fix this. What a wonderful testimony. When the heathen king has watched Daniel enough to know that Daniel's God is real. He knows his own are not real. But he knows that Daniel's is real, and he believes Daniel's God can deliver Daniel. He said, Daniel, I can't fix it, but your God can. And they throw him in, and they put a stone over the top, and they seal it so that it cannot be changed. When Daniel is standing there, can you imagine, as they call for him, he knows the penalty. And there he is at the edge of the lion's den. He knows what's about to happen. And the king says, Daniel, I'm sorry. I can't fix it. We've got to put you in the lion's den. Daniel believes with all his heart that these are his last moments on earth. He's seen people thrown in the lion's den. He knows what that looks like. He knows what happens when you throw people in the lion's den. Those lions are near starvation for a reason. So that the minute something comes close enough, they destroy it and they eat it. He knows that's what, he's seen it before. He's top in the government. He's watched this happen to people before. He's seen murderers go in that lion den. He's seen wicked people go in that lion den. He's seen people devoured before they ever hit the bottom. And he's standing there and he knows he's about to be shoved in there. And this is it. And we see Daniel faithful, even to the point of giving up his own life. It's gotten so serious. Now it's not a fine. It's not jail time. Now it's, Daniel, you are about to die. Have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? If you never have, you ought to. You know what you'll find? You'll find people like Daniel. You will. You'll find people who were marched up to their own execution, to have their heads cut off, to be burned at the stake, to see their wives and children being murdered in front of them. And they said, why don't you just give up on this thing? Why don't you just turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you just pledge your allegiance to the church instead and go back to Catholicism? And they said, nope. Why don't you get rid of that book you were translating? Nope. I'm going to stay faithful. But it's illegal to have the Word of God. You can't do that. We should not have it in our own language. And it's wicked and it's vile and it's against the dictates of the church. And they said, we're going to go ahead. Do whatever you have to do. Cut my head off if you need to. Burn me at the stake if you need to. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be faithful. That's exactly what Daniel did. He said, if this is the way this has to end, okay, then this must be what God has for me. And Daniel, I can't help but think that Daniel, even though he believes he's about to die, I can't help but think there might have been a little smile on his face. After the king said to him, Daniel, I can't deliver you, but your God can. You know what Daniel knows right now? Daniel knows that he's had an impact on that king. And that king knows who his God is. And that's a pretty big step. You see, his whole life, he was ripped up from his roots as a child, and he probably never expected it to last this long. Really. He never expected his life to go on this long and have all that he's had and be as blessed as he is. And so now it's gone, and that's okay because of his faithfulness. He's pointed someone else to God. Don't be discouraged when all you do is point somebody else to God. That's not a small thing. That's a big thing. And you never know the ongoing consequences of that. That little kid that you brought to Sunday school and he got saved, said, well, that was nice. I'm glad that happened. He might end up on a mission field someday, reaching multitudes of people with the gospel. He might end up pastoring this church someday. Wouldn't that be something? And sending missionaries around the world and reaching the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never think it's a small thing when you just pointed somebody to God. That's a big thing. And Daniel is standing there and he now knows. He probably thinks, well, this is what God put me here for. This king now knows my God is real. And he remembers what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were delivered from the furnace. There was a decree that went out and everybody was told about how wonderful the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was. And he's thinking, everybody's going to hear again how wonderful God is. Because this king knows and his influence goes everywhere. And he's going to tell everybody and that'll make it okay. And then they shove him in. Look, if you would, down here. Verse number 18. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought for him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. You see, he's got a pretty good idea who Daniel's God is. Servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And he's just standing there and he's crying out in the vain hope that there might be some response. And he wakes Daniel up by yelling at him. And Daniel responds. Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. What an amazing story. The king comes and he says, Daniel, I'm so sorry. Have you been delivered or not? And he doesn't really know what's going to happen. And Daniel says, oh, king, God sent an angel. And he shut the lion's mouths and they pull him out. Look, if you would, at verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. And you know what Darius did after that? You can read when you get home. He sent out decrees all over the world. He said everybody ought to worship the God of Daniel. Isn't that amazing? Here's what I want you to see, last thing. Daniel was faithful. Daniel was faithful to serve where he was placed by God. He was faithful in the midst of opposition. He was faithful when he knew there would be consequences. He was faithful to offer up his very life to serve God. And he was faithful, ultimately, to glorify God. You can read through this as many times as you want. And you know what you'll find? When Daniel comes out of the lion's den, when Daniel responds to Darius, it's not all about Daniel. It's immediately all about Daniel's God. That's where all the focus goes. And the only way that happens is if Daniel's pointing him that way. He said, oh, king, my God sent an angel. He didn't say, king, I made it. I did it. I survived that. He said, God intervened for me, king. And then Darius sends out the decree. It says everybody ought to worship the God of Daniel. They didn't have Daniel Day and the Daniel Parade and the new series of books by Daniel on how to overcome lions. And the seminar for future lion bait, you know, to come learn how to defend them off. That's what we do. We see some great victory, and next thing you know, we know it all. So we write books and we hold seminars, and people come learn to be more like us. And nobody needs to be more like us. We don't need another Daniel. We just need you to be faithful and you to be faithful and you to be faithful. And we just need to be us and be faithful. We don't need more Daniels. We just need ordinary people willing to be faithful to glorify God. I suspect sometimes the reason God doesn't bless some things is because he knows we'd take the credit for it. And he doesn't want that. So he'll just let it flop. But I suspect that if he knew, we would take every opportunity just to point people to him, he might dump more blessings on us. I was sitting here this afternoon. We were watching the slide presentation. Boy, some of you have gotten old. I said that wrong. Some of you were so young, so long ago. And we got down toward the end, and it was the building of this auditorium. And we were seeing the progression as it occurred. That's exciting stuff, isn't it? And everybody's been patting the preacher on the back all day, and rightfully so. I don't know if you noticed what he did when we got down toward the end. He noticed a fly on the ceiling, and he began to point at it. No, that's not what he was doing. He stuck his hand up in the air. I suspect he was saying, God did this. Am I right? Faithful to glorify God. Everything around us today is a blessing from Almighty God. All he asks of us is to be faithful. We can do that. We can't all be famous. We can't all be the smartest and the most talented. We can't all do that. But we can all be faithful. And if we'll be faithful, God will use us. And He'll use us for greater things than we ever dreamed we could do. I would dare say 30 years ago, if somebody had drawn a little sketch and said, how would you like to build a building like this, and it'll hold this many people, and here's the cost for the property and the buildings, you'd have probably just had a heart attack right then and there. Been the end of it. But God had something in mind. And you know what God needed to accomplish all that? Some faithful people. I promise you, God has even more in mind. You know what He's going to need to accomplish it? Faithful people. Daniel, faithful. We can be faithful. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this special day. Thank You that we can be here tonight. And Lord, thank You for the example of a man who, from a human perspective, had every reason in the world to be bitter, to be angry. And yet, right where You put him, he just began to serve You and be faithful. And that was the mark of his life right down to the very end. So that we tell stories about Daniel. We teach children about Daniel. God, the truth. I pray that You would give us a desire to be faithful people, no matter what the opposition, no matter what the consequences, to just be willing to follow You and be faithful where You have put us. And then, Lord, when all is said and done, help us to be faithful to point people to You and to glorify and honor You. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, are you the faithful person that God wants you to be? I hope and pray so. If God has spoken to you, and maybe there's an area of your life that needs attention, I invite you to come and gather around the altar. Maybe you haven't been as faithful as what you need to be in the area of prayer or the area of going to church or the area of tithing or the area of praying or whatever it might be. I would challenge you. Look at the faithfulness of God. When I raised my hand and pointed towards the sky, if you noticed in that video, I was standing on top of the steeple and I was pointing towards heaven. I did so to remind people all glory goes to God. Look up. God is faithful. And if we would look at the faithfulness of God, it would only demand the fact that we need to be faithful back to Him. As Jorgen plays through a verse of invitation, would you come and say, Lord, help me to be faithful? Would you come?